Hey, good morning, Northwoods. My name's Hope.
My name's Kayla.
And we are so excited to be a couple of the first people to welcome you to Northwoods this morning.
That's right. So if you are brand new here, if you've never been a part of Northwoods before, you never joined us for a service, we want you to text the number that is on your screen right now. You're not gonna get any weird messages. It's actually gonna put you in connection with our online pastor, with Hope, so that if you have any questions about what's going on, you want information about something we talked about, you can be in contact with a real person who works here who can help you get connected here at Northwoods and answer any questions you might have.
Absolutely. And another way for you to get connected if you've been around Northwoods for a while is by pulling out your phone and filling out the connection card in the Northwoods app. And obviously, that lets us know that you're here this weekend, but it's so much more than that. You can get connected with next steps. So if there's something that you hear in announcements maybe, or whatever it might be, maybe you're looking for a small group, you can say that you're interested in that and someone will personally follow up with you. You can also give feedback and send in prayer requests. So take a minute every weekend and fill out the connection card.
Yeah. Okay, are we ready?
I think we're ready.
Today's a special day.
It is a special day. That's today
right.
Is Celebration Sunday. That's awesome.
Yes.
We had to throw in the confetti. We're big fans.
We have to.
But yeah, so it's Celebration Sunday. We are celebrating today our 32nd anniversary as a church, which on Friday we got to see the very first launch service at Northwoods.
So cool.
Yeah,
so cool.
Super fun. You can catch that on demand if you couldn't tune in. But most importantly, today we're celebrating that anniversary, but we are also celebrating Pastor Cal and Susan and their leadership and faithfulness to this church over the last 32 years.
Yeah.
You know, God has used them to do great things here in the Peoria area, and Cal's getting ready to transition onto what's next and what season of ministry God is calling him to. And so we just want to say thank you to him, thank you to Susan, and honor and celebrate them today. So there's confetti here, and there's going to be a lot more celebrating to come later in service.
That's right. And talking about what's next, as we move into a new month and a new series, Pastor John is going to be leading us through a series called Advances, all about what is coming next for our church, what God is putting on the heart of John and the leadership of our church as we transition to a new season with John as our senior pastor.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. So as always, we're about ready to get started. And again, we have so many fun things planned, but join the chat, say hi, let us know, you know, maybe a special memory that you've had with Pastor Cal or just one of your favorite memories at Northwoods over the last 32 years. And if you need prayer, our prayer team is standing by and would love to pray with you this morning.
Yeah.
You know, we are so glad that you're here. Let's get ready to do a little bit more celebrating.
What God has given me is a fuller, more complete vision of what He wants the church to become. So if it sounds serious, it is. Beginning in late 2002 and early 2003, I entered into the longest, most confusing spiritual desert I have ever encountered. I remember well, I was sitting up in Willow Creek's new facility the night of their grand opening, 7,500 seat state-of-the-art auditorium. And I sense the Spirit of God nudge me, and He says, Cal, I want you to look around. And then He asked me, how many of these people are prepared to stand in the day of testing? And God said, I want you to build into my people what you know they need, and you let me worry about filling the place up. He said, Cal, you do what I'm showing you to do, and one day they will stand in line to get in. And I left here absolutely wrecked, depressed, angry, upset. Something's missing. Thursday evening, July 13th, I was sitting in my room in the early part of the evening. I had just finished reading a book, but it asked a couple of really good questions at the end. Who are you as an individual, and what is your ministry? Why do you exist in ministry? Where are we going as a ministry? How are we going to get there as a ministry? I was just about ready to toss the book over on a chair in disgust when the Holy Spirit nudged me and said, answer those questions. I said, you know, Lord, all I have ever wanted from the depth of my heart is to help people authentically encounter you in the fullness of your love and power. And that one word encounter just leapt out of my heart. There was like this, yes, I want people to have such a radical encounter with your love that it forever transforms their hearts and lives, and such a radical encounter with your power that they know the God of the Bible is still the same wonder-working God as we read about in the pages of the Bible. People have to be established so they get engaged with our world and can make a difference for Jesus Christ. And then the thought came, oh, but before they can get engaged, they need to be equipped. I'm going, that's it, Lord. Encounter, establish, equip, engage. That we need to move towards becoming a house of prayer, not just a meeting place on Sundays. I envision healing prayer ministry taking place at the end or as a part of every service. This please be a place where God's gifts are welcome and stewarded well. That's what I believe he wants from his church. I know people are going to hear this and they're going to think, you know, Northwoods is going charismatic or Pentecostal. And my answer to that is no. We're going New Testament, folks. And guys, I long for the day when the church and this church will be like a Mayo's clinic and people will think, man, get me to Northwoods before we even think of going anywhere else, because there's real power to change things. Jesus is doing something.
Hey, come on, church, let's give him praise today. Our God is faithful. He is worthy to receive all honor and all glory. Okay, we're gonna continue to celebrate his faithfulness. So come on, let's put our hands together like this. Yeah. We praise you, Lord. Come and have your way. Hallelujah. Hey, come on, let's sing.
King, come let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things.
Do you believe that today?
He has done great things.
Come on, lift your voice. We say,
oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things.
Yeah.
Begins your freedom, awaken alive. Oh, Jesus, my Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things.
Yeah. Faithful God, come on, we sing.
You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great. God, you do great things, yeah.
Come on, shout it out.
Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. He dances your freedom, awaken the light. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high.
He is faithful. Sing it again. We say hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God, above it all.
You are above it all, God.
Hallelujah.
You are unshakable, God.
Unshakable.
There's no one like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You've done great things.
Come on, sing it out.
Oh, hero.
Church, again, we are so excited that you're here today as we celebrate God's faithfulness, as we're honoring our founding pastor, Pastor Cal. On behalf of Northwoods, we love you. And hey, church, we've got some awesome things lined up for you today. So go ahead and take your seat and enjoy.
for crying out loud. It's so full of people here, I had to park at Schnucks and take the shuttle. And why is that guy sitting in my seat? Lord, could it get any more bizarre?
Well, hello, neighbor. Is it okay if Mr. Rogers sits here with you, huh? Is it?
Well, I suppose there aren't too many other seats available, it can't get any weirder. I haven't seen you in a long time.
I don't usually come to church at this time. No, I don't.
Yeah, neither do I. I usually come when the music is softer and there aren't so many people.
Which service is that?
Saturday night.
You know, when Mr. Rogers comes to church and sits up in the balcony like we are, where we can look out over a sea of people, something comes over me and I can only think of one thing.
Oh yeah, what's that?
Water balloons.
Yeah, I like your thinking, neighbor. There's a lot of targets down there.
There certainly are.
It's kind of like a baptism 2.0.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have catchy slogans for everything nowadays.
Yes, you're right, you're right. How about Northwoods Aerial Baptism? A spiritual douse for you and your spouse.
Right. Yeah, I see where you're going with this. Or maybe thinking about baptism, but don't want to be pushed? Stay in your seat. We got you. Sploosh!
I think we're onto something here. I really do. Yes. But boy,
so.
It would take a lot of balloons today, wouldn't it?
It would indeed a lot of balloons. Why are there so many people in one service?
Well, this is the day that we're celebrating Pastor Cal and his time here at Northwoods.
Oh, yeah. He started this whole thing, didn't he?
That's right.
How old was he back then?
I think he was 7 years old when he started this church. Yes, the church was much smaller then. Everybody was smaller. All we had was Discovery Land, and nobody was taller than 3.5 feet.
Yeah, you know, I volunteer in Discovery Land.
There's a scary thought. Oh, what age group?
Well, with all of my friends, I'm used to whiners and droolers, so they put me in a nursery.
Ah.
It's a perfect fit for me.
Certainly.
But, you know, it would have been kind of interesting to have a little Calvin in my class.
Yes. I'm sure he was a very shy and quiet little boy.
Yeah. Oh, man, to have those kind of memories. It'd be interesting to look back on those days.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm sure if you just say the magic word, they can make that happen.
Magic word? You mean acrostic?
That's close enough.
See more. I think anybody who cares about reaching a secular culture has got to think about doing it differently if they're not reaching those people.
We just had people coming around us, and every Sunday, I'm telling you, we had people who were totally unchurched coming in here.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Did you go to a particular house of worship this past week or weekend?
At the north edge of Peoria, you'll find one of the 100 fastest growing churches in the country.
There he is out there.
Massive.
Give me a, all right, there he gives him a wave, all right.
What's it worth to be a part of seeing many more people, many more families, many more children run to Jesus?
Saved and forgiven totally by faith in what Jesus Christ did for you on that Easter weekend. I could parade several hundreds of folks across this stage, and they could share with you how the power of Christ has broken the chains and set them free.
And if you can say that this night I drove a stake in the ground and I became a follower of Jesus. I invited him to turn the light on in me, and I believe he did that. I want you, as your response, to just turn your light on now and say, that was me. I did that tonight. Just let you turn your light on right now. That's awesome. That is awesome. God is so proud of you.
I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Man, those are some great memories. If only I could keep track of them all.
Yes, indeed they are. And now Pastor Cal is off on a new phase of life. He's going to spend the rest of the year traveling around, visiting friends and family. It'll be a 25,000-mile road trip.
Oh, poor Susan.
Oh, he's taking her. He's taking her with him.
Poor Susan.
Do you have any words of advice for the lady?
Depends.
Depends on what?
That's it. Get yourself some Depends. Cal doesn't do rest stops.
That's so true. Oh, and the Cal always says the driver gets to pick the music. I wonder what that would sound like. Oh, my.
Road, he never was the same again. And when Peter met the Lord, he left his boat and started a fishing for men. Now I may not be Peter or Paul, but one thing I can truly say, when I met the Lord and made him my choice, you know he definitely made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking. He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things pass away, behold, everything's new.
He made a change in the life that I'm living.
I'm born again, set free, and finally forgiven. If he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you.
I've seen some old friends are shaking their heads, 'cause they never thought they'd see the day when a sinner like me would praise the Lord or bow my head to pray. I'm not what I used to be. You see, my life has been rearranged. Well, it's nothing that I've done, but I have found someone who definitely made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things pass away, behold, everything's new.
He made a change in the life that I'm living.
I'm born again, set free, and finally forgiven. If he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking.
Old things pass away, behold, everything's new.
Alright.
He made a change in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, set free, and finally forgiven. If he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you.
Everybody, come on.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things pass away, behold, everything's new.
He made a change in the life that I'm living.
I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven. If he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you.
Yes, he can.
Oh, I know he can make a change in me. He can make a change in you.
He made a change in me. He made a change in you. He made a change.
amazing grace to me by me.
Yes, I
grace
and the food of the rugged cross on Calvary.
I found grace
with the awesome power to set the captive free.
I found grace.
So say,
His loving grace,
His loving grace,
His loving grace, amazing grace to be by me.
I sought for wisdom in the ways of this world, but no wisdom could be found. I sought for meaning in the words of great men, but all their words just let me down. Seeking justice for the things that I've done, my soul needed mercy, and I found it in God's Son.
Grace
at the foot of a rugged cross on Calvary.
I found
grace with the awesome power to set the captive free.
Amazing grace to be by me.
Give up the search, it's a useless dream you're chasing. You'll find no peace till you seek His face. The answer's right before you at the foot of the cross. You'll find that it's a home.
Set the captive free. Sustaining grace,
so much grace.
Redeeming grace, well I found grace.
His loving grace,
His loving grace.
His awesome
grace, amazing grace to be by me.
It's cold.
Love you too. Man.
I want to say, Cal, thank you for inviting us. Actually, this was a surprise for him. Thank you to Don and the church for allowing Legacy 5 to be a part of the special day.
Yeah. Love you guys. I think Don knew it wouldn't be right on this Sunday not to have my quartet here with me. I asked him to do that song. People say, Cal, how you doing? Well, I've had 3.5 years of crying my tears, preparing for this moment. And you just need to know there's nothing but gratitude that God would allow me to shepherd you for 32 years. I've been blessed. And you've been an incredible, incredible church. And as I say, great days up ahead too. This isn't the end. Susan and I are going to run off in a little bit. We're going to travel, but we're going to come back. And like I say, we're just going to do what's desired rather than what's required. But a lot of tears, because it just seems like yesterday I was sitting in Bible college wondering what it's going to be like. And I go, how can almost 40 years of ministry be done already? And I can tell you, though there's been a lot of changes, I look out, you see the 31-year-old Cal, and a lot of changes. The one thing that's never changed is Jesus. And I know you laugh sometimes at my gospel music, but I told these guys last night, you have no idea. There have been shots along the way, and I can't stand up here and tell you about them. But I just go get in my car, take a drive. Sometimes on a Saturday afternoon, just get my heart ready to preach again. And it was always songs like this that would just get me back into a place of faith and trust. There's this song that I asked them if I could do with them, and I'm not going to pretend to sing bass when there's a real one on stage. So I'll just help out with the lead a little bit. I can tell you this, there's been a grace on this last 3 years, and particularly this last year and this last month, there's been a grace to be able to say, God, you've been so faithful. Nothing but faithful. Nothing but good. And I can truly say, I leave here with no regrets today. I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord. Let's sing it, guys. Never came true. I've seen them vanish at dawn. But enough of my dreams have been fulfilled to make me keep dreaming on. I've prayed many a prayer, seemed no answer would come. Though I waited so very long. But enough great answers have come to my prayers to make me keep praying on. I wrote this one. I've preached lots of sermons. At times, seen no response. Thought maybe something was wrong. But I've seen thousands change in response to God's word to make me keep preaching on. I've sowed many a seed that's fell by the way for the birds to feed upon. Oh, but I've held enough golden sheaves in my hand to make me keep sowing on. I've drained the cup of disappointment and tears. Been days I near lost my song. But I've sipped enough nectar from the roses of life to make me want to live on.
I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. I don't regret a time I trusted in His word. I've seen
you to get on your feet and join us for this little chorus that I think most of you will know why I don't regret a mile, not a time of trusting in His word. It's because through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Let's sing it together.
God for His faithfulness to them. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Well, hello. For those of you who do not know me, I am the oldest of the Rickner children. I'm Katie. I am also my parents' favorite child. I'm just kidding. Not really, though. We know. Really, though, I probably gave my dad most, if not all, of his gray hair. But honestly, a lot of great sermon content too, so you're welcome. In all seriousness though, I'm just really honored to be here today to talk about one of my most very favorite people. I know many of you have been able to publicly honor my dad already, and so I just wanted to be able to share a little bit of my heart today. I'm going to try to keep it together. Clearly, that's already going really well for me. But Northwoods, you got to see Pastor Cal speaking up here on stage every week, the guy that was preaching to you behind the podium, the one talking the talk. But what you did not get to see were the behind the scenes. You didn't get to see where my dad was living out exactly what he preached up here, at home, and anywhere that he was. There wasn't a morning that I didn't walk down the stairs and see my dad having his quiet time with Jesus, reading his Bible. There wasn't a time that I didn't see my mom and him tithing, even though I know it was probably really hard. He was leading a really large church and handled all the responsibilities and hard things that came with that, and still made his family top priority. Sorry, I'll get it together. He set the standard high for us. He led us really well. He modeled Jesus, all while leading so many to Jesus. When I was in high school and college and figuring out things for myself and what a relationship with Jesus meant to me, my dad gave me the space to figure that out, all while lovingly guiding me. He showed up for me at all of my sporting events. He prioritized family vacations and devotions around the table. He taught me the value of hard work. He showed me what commitment, endurance, consistency, and discipline really looks like. I truly got to see my dad live out daily what it meant to walk with God. I think my dad truly got it right. He stewarded what was given to him really, really well. And one of my very favorite things is when somebody meets me and they say, "Oh, you're Pastor Cal's daughter." Yes, I am. I am so incredibly proud to say that's my dad. I know as a church, this transition is probably going to be a little bit hard, a little bit sad, and that's to be expected when you've had the most amazing leader for over 30 years. But my brother Jonathan has now been handed the baton, and he was raised in the same home with the same standards, with the most amazing guy modeling the amazing leadership that he showed here. So I know you're going to be in the most amazing hands. I love you, Dad. Thanks for being the best. Will you please all stand and give my dad just a huge round of applause?
bless you, Jesus Christ, the name above every other name. We love you, Jesus. We give you glory. Come on, sing it. Oh, what a Savior. As we look over this last 32 years, we give you the glory for what you alone have done. God, you are the only one deserving of our ultimate love and praise. God, beyond any other human name, beyond any single church, you, Jesus, are the one we love. You are the one we honor. You are the one who has done great things. Hear your church say, we love you. Hear our grateful hearts, Jesus Christ. We're so thankful. Thankful for all you've done. And we all pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Church, you can be seated. Well, if you've been with Northwoods, you've probably heard the name Pastor Larry Stockstill before. And he is a dear, precious man of God, not just to our family, but to this church family. He founded Surge. He pastored Bethany Church. And we have the distinct honor and privilege of having him here today. So, Pastor Larry, would you please come to the platform in Northwoods? Give him a large, warm, loud welcome.
Oh, come on, let's give Jesus a great hand clap of praise. He's wonderful. Come on, Northwoods, let's give Jesus the glory. Amen. Wow, wow, wow. What a great, great honor and blessing to be with you guys today on this amazing day, Cal. You and Susan were such a blessing. And, you know, I was down there in Baton Rouge all those years, kind of thinking I was the only guy. And I think I found my twin brother up here. I almost look like him a little bit if I had glasses on. But, you know, I'm very excited to be with you guys. I feel like I've known you for years because of the common vision And you may ask, how in the world did I get up here? Well, I'm the blesser today. They gave me the task of speaking the blessing, which you'll join me in just a few minutes, over Pastor Cal, because I have good news for him. There is life after pastoring, my brother. There is. And I pasteurized for almost 30 years, like Cal. And, you know, Melanie and I lived in the back of the church property, had 100 acres the church owned, and they built us a parsonage. We lived there, raised our family there. And I remember the day that my son Jonathan, interestingly enough, took our congregation 10 years ago. He was 30. And, you know, we had about 7,500 people there that day. Jonathan preached a message, "I've got it." And he went down the row of me, my dad, and his other grandfather, and talked about how he didn't drop the baton and wasn't going to drop the baton. It was an amazing, amazing day. And now 10 years later, Jonathan has added three new campuses to Bethany. Our new New Orleans campus just opened about 9 months ago. He's built buildings, he's done all kinds of stuff. Today he's in Orlando preaching down there. And just to see the growth of Bethany spiritually, physically, numerically, his leadership through COVID. You know, COVID's been a tough time for young pastors to navigate. My Jonathan told me one time he had 19 different problems he was navigating that could have completely sunk the church in the same amount of time, and yet he navigated through it. And I don't know if you're accustomed to young leadership, but they are really awesome. They have creative energy. They are full of life, full of expression. And for those who were raised in a godly family like Jonathan is, they have amazing wisdom with which to do it. And I just told Jonathan when he took our church, I said, "Look, you just have my values, then you can have whatever vision God gives you to have, because I want a new generation." How many of you are thankful for a new generation of leadership? And you can really be thankful, because right now most young pastors are going off starting their own thing, and that's fine. I'm glad they're doing that. We need a lot of church planters in the United States, but we've seen something a little different here, and that is some sons and daughters that say, "Hey, we were raised up here, and we feel like this is where God's called us." So when you get a new Timothy, when you get a new generation leader, you can really be very, very thankful. I'd like to just speak from the book of Psalms chapter 112 for just a few minutes. And I actually thought I was just going to pray, but they told me they want me to preach a little bit too. Hey, I'll always take a preaching opportunity. But I've got a word that I believe is a prophetic word for each of you that came today from Psalm 112. And before we lay our hands upon Pastor Cal and bless he and Susan for the new season of life that they're moving into, you know, I'm trusting 2022 to be a different year than 2020 and 2021. Come on, can you say amen? I mean, we got to have a shift. And I started Pastors University in 2020, January. No idea that COVID was coming. And who would walk through the door? Two of my first 92 students was Jonathan and Nathan Rickner. And so I had them for a whole year. I taught them everything I knew. They called 50 lessons from 50 years of ministry. In fact, I was making some stuff up at the end of it. They didn't know that. But I'm now in my fifth cohort, and I'm in Sarasota this week. In fact, this is my 15th time to preach this week. I preached all week long. Somebody asked, "Are you retired?" I said, "No, I'm tired, baby, but I ain't retired." I got a feeling that's coming for you, Brother Cal. So I guess the reason they have me up here today is I'm kind of uniquely qualified. I have a family in ministry with me. All six of my children are in ministry with me. And then Cal and Susan, you know, are co-partners with us in Surge. They've planted about 850 churches with Surge. Come on now. Amazing. There is no other pastor, no other church in the United States, even among my own spiritual sons, who has picked the vision of Surge Up and brought it to the next level. When I first came here and 500 people were in the atrium in a evening meeting wanting to hear every word about Surge and what we do, I went home and said to Melanie, I think I've died and gone to heaven. I really do. Northwoods is the most unique church in missions that I have ever been around. And this is my first opportunity to be with you as a group. Let me just give you the five blessings the Lord spoke to me are going to come upon the church in 2022. You know, the tree of life in Revelation chapter 22 says that there's a new fruit every month. Now, I don't know if there's time in eternity. I don't know. I thought that was all gone, but it says there's going to be a new fruit every month. So just figure that out. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I am going to release blessings on my people in 2022, not annually. They won't think the same they have before. They won't wait to the end of the year and say, how's it going? He said, I'm going to shorten that cycle to a month. And I'm going to send a blessing every month. So I want you to claim with me this year, Northwood, a miracle every month. How many of you will claim that in 2022? A miracle every month. You say, well, what kind of miracles am I to believe for? Well, I believe I've got them right here in Psalm chapter 112. It says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man or woman who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Last night at a banquet, Pastor Cal said his number one lesson of his ministry was to love the Word of God. To love the Bible. He's taught you the Bible for 30 years, and it hasn't been a job for him. I can tell you, I preached 5,000 times at Bethany, and never one time was it a job or a duty. It was absolutely the joy of my life. Pastor Cal, would you say the same thing, that feeding this flock and loving this group of people and shaking their hand as they walk out and go into their lives is the very delight and joy of our lives. And it says, blessed is the man who delights in his commandments. And blessing number one, if you want to write these down, these are the five blessings of 2022. Now, don't check the NCAA scores while I'm preaching, please. But if you want to see these miracles every month, the very first one it says, I'm reading in verse 2, his offspring, that's his children, will be mighty, mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. We just heard from Pastor Cal's daughter. What a great blessing she was. What an amazing word she gave about a dad that was congruous in his home life and in his platform life. You know, they say that integrity means whole. It means to be complete. If somebody gives you a pie and it's in a box and you open the lid and to your surprise there's one slice missing, you kind of think, where'd that slice go? I mean, did a rat get it? What happened? I mean, it makes you feel weird about the whole pie. Integrity is a pie of character and finances and marriage and ministry and motives and all the way around you could go. And you can have 99% of integrity, but if you're just missing one little piece of that pie, it negates the rest. My wife and I have a motorhome, and we go into Walmart parking lots and spend the night a lot. And she went inside and bought some groceries while I was walking. I came back. There was a box of donuts. And I thought, oh, this is wonderful. I opened the box of donuts, and I noticed that she had started eating one of them. And so I just picked it out of the box and finished eating it. When she came back, I said, man, those are wonderful donuts. She said, yeah, I hadn't tried one yet. Somebody in the store kind of got hungry and helped themselves. Well, that's what I mean by integrity. You can't be missing a bite. You can't be missing a slice. You can't be missing a part of your character. And when a child stands up and tells you that they've been watching and observing a family, and that there's a congruity between home and platform, that in every area of life, and I just want to testify that about Cal, because when Samuel was brought before the nation on his last day of being the judge of Israel, the only thing he said is, whose ox have I taken? Who have I stolen something from? I could ask the same question this morning here at Northwood, and I could ask them, who had Cal steal something from you or defraud you or do something wrong that was unscriptural, immoral, ungodly, or illegal? And I can promise you not one hand would go up. And you say, well, you know, maybe he's not the greatest preacher. You've been on the internet and you've seen a lot of other guys maybe preaching. But let me tell you something. They may be falling, but the guy that pastored you stood firm with you for 32 years. Come on, give him another hand clap for integrity. There's no slice of the donut missing. And it says his children will be mighty in the land. You know, not only did Jonathan enter into ministry 10 years ago, and our church has grown. It's the largest, it's the most blessed it's ever been. That's what you've got ahead of you, Northwood. But Joel took over Surge, and many of you have given to Surge. We planted about 450 churches this year again, but their goal this year is to plant not a church every day, but a church every hour. And they're believing for 8,000 churches to be planted this year. It's on a J curve, and they have a trajectory that they're moving. In a few years, they want to be planting a church every minute in the world. And you know, when you see your children become mighty in the land, and that's what's happening here at Northwood. It's identical. It's like I'm looking at 10 years ago happening today. And you just have so much to look forward to. I want you to believe, God, that your children are not all going to be backslidden. They're not all going to be in prison. And they're not all going to be stealing and robbing and running around. But they're going to be mighty leaders. They're going to be world changers. They're going to be traveling around the world preaching the gospel. They're going to be leading congregations. How many of you will believe, God, in 2022 that your children are going to be mighty in the earth serving God? Come on, wave your hand at me if you believe that. The second blessing I see is in verse 3, and I like this one. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Now, that's a blessing that I don't pray about a lot. I mean, I got my Ford F-150 truck. It's 8 years old, got 140,000 miles on it, but I love it. I can't run it out in the ground. I just love that truck. I'm happy. I'm content. Melanie and I, we don't want a huge home. We can't clean the one we got. Come on, somebody, right? I don't want a 20,000 square foot home, man. I love what I got, and I'm content. But when it says wealth and riches are in his house, I kind of am beginning to believe God for that blessing too, because I know what to do with wealth for the kingdom of God. You see, if it's a bad man and he gets money, he turns money into a bad thing. But if it's a good man and you give him money, he turns that money into good things. And I want to believe God for financial prosperity for every one of you in this room, not for yourself, for 3 condos and 4 Jaguars and more Bentleys. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking to be able to expand the kingdom of God around the world and churches to be planted through the prosperity of Northwood Church. Come on, give the Lord praise if you'll believe with me for that. You know, my son lives in Florida, and his friend is over a yacht company. And I went out there and looked. They had 300-foot yachts out there. Bill Gates' wife had yachts out there, Steve Jobs' wife, excuse me. And she goes 1 week a month out there, 1 week a year. And they got yachts out there 300 feet long that the owner has never stepped foot on it. And 40 employees have their own boat just take care of the yachts. And they don't know what to do with it. They're afflicted with wealth, and they need somebody to heal them like me and you. Come on, right? And I don't know what it is. I love the story. Oral Roberts University almost went bankrupt maybe 12 years ago because of debt, $50 million of debt. And they were having a board meeting about selling ORU to Oklahoma University. And
the board was very long-faced talking about the end of the university, and the secretary came in and said, there's a man in the lobby. And Oral was in there, and he said, send him in. And he said, hi, guys, I don't know you. You don't know me. I've never been on campus. My name is David Green. And he said, I was at home praying, and the Lord told me to drive up here and help save ORU. What's going on? And they told him, we're about to sell the school this week. We're $50 million in debt. He sat down and wrote out a check for $50 million and handed it to him. And he said, what else do you need? He said, well, we have $50 million behind in deferred maintenance. All our buildings are crumbling and falling apart. How much is that? They said, that's $50 million. He said, all right. He sat down and wrote out another check and handed that to them. And then they said, he said, what else do you need? They said, we need a $150 million endowment, or we can't survive without raising money for the rest of our careers. And he said, well, I'll have to talk to my family about that. And now that family has given $250 million to ORU. Did they not only save it? It's debt-free. All the buildings are brand new. The student body is growing larger than ever, and the power of God is moving. And that came through the owner of Hobby Lobby, David Green, a spirit-filled Christian. I guess my question is, how many of you would like to cough and $1 million fall out of your pocket for world missions? Come on, wave at me if that's you. And I'm not talking about materialism. I ain't got any time for that. But what I am talking about is I know what to do with wealth. I don't need a 300-foot yacht. I know what to do with it. I want to change the world. And the third blessing I notice is this, Pastor Cal. It says, for the man who is blessed of the Lord is gracious, merciful, and righteous. I think that's a blessing on his relationships. He's gracious, he's merciful, and he's righteous. Relationships have suffered in the last 2 years. Everybody has an enemy. Everybody's got someone on social media they're attacking. Friends of lifetime duration have lost those relationships in the last 2 years. And the Lord said to me, he's going to heal relationships in 2022, that people who have been divided, families that have been divided, couples that have been divided in divorce, all types of issues where the enemy has sown discord among brethren. He said, there's going to be grace in 2022 and forgiveness. There's going to be mercy in 2022. And God is going to heal relationships. And I know you have someone that you need the Lord to heal a relationship in your life. It's going to take forgiveness. And that's a part of the blessing. And I see Pastor Cal and Susan are going to be uniters in the body of Christ. Yes, they're going to have a family that's blessed. Yes, they're going to channel millions and millions and millions of dollars to world missions. But they're also going to be a uniter in the body of Christ, teaching people with grudges and bitternesses and hurts and divisions to just lay it down. Be quick to forgive and quick to forget. And then the fourth word, and I'm going to pray this blessing in a minute. It says the man that's blessed of the Lord, verse 7, is not afraid of bad news. We got plenty of bad news right now. In fact, CNN, I figured out what that stands for. Constantly negative news. But you know, something has happened in my life in 2022. I'm not afraid of bad news. I mean, we got Ukraine just happened. And we got World War III is upon us. And hypersonic gliders can go 16,000 miles an hour. And Putin could push the button at any minute. And you know something? I ain't worried one bit. That's a southern expression, but you get what I'm talking about. Because I see Christians have become world champion worriers. The slightest news outlet mention of something else coming, a new variant, a new enemy, a new problem, that gas is going to be $10 a gallon and this and that. All we're hearing is bad news. But this says his heart, Look at verse 9. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. We just need to calm down, everybody. We need to settle down. We need to say we serve a God who counts the numbers of the hairs on our head, and even the ones that jumped off a long time ago, he knows where they are. What a database of 8 billion people's hair. And every time one falls out, the number changes in heaven. Or the sparrow count. Every time a sparrow falls to the ground, out of billions of them, the number changes in heaven. We're talking about a heavenly Father that is watching over you carefully. Everything in your life is totally cataloged, and his love for you is so deep. He loves to watch you live. He loves to watch you eat. He loves to watch you breathe. He saw you when you came in here. You don't have to worry about anything. Cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. Heart not afraid. But I want to come to number 5 because I'm ready to pray over my brother. This is my favorite one, because you can have all the other 4. You can have children that are all wonderful and serve God. You can have plenty of finances and an overflow to bless the kingdom of God. You can have relational harmony all around you, that it's all good, no enemies, just friends. You can have a heart that's calm and you're not worried about anything because God's in charge. But you can have all of that and miss the 5th blessing, and you really missed the greatest blessing of all. This is verse 9, which happens to be my favorite verse over in the New Testament about missions. It's interesting. This verse is quoted by Paul in 2 Corinthians 9 about missions. The greatest chapter on missions is 2 Corinthians 9. And he quoted this very verse from Psalms. He has distributed freely, or scattered abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. You know what this 5th blessing is? Greater than all the others. The blessing of purpose. That I have a mission. That I have a ministry. You know, you can have all those other things and they're wonderful, but your ministry. And I'm talking to everybody in the balcony, everybody in this church. The family of Cal Rickner is not the only ones that has a ministry. You all have a ministry. That's right. And you have a mission in your life. You have a purpose. You know, I remember, and you've heard this story perhaps, forgive me if I'm telling it and you've heard it, but one time I heard about Reinhard Bonnke's crusades, winning 1 million souls every crusade, and so I told the church that I had a purpose, a mission, a desire to pay for a Reinhard Bonnke crusade. And I found out from the Bonnkes that it's $1 million for every crusade. And I told the church, when I found that out, I was disappointed because I didn't think even God had that much money. You know, that we think. And everybody laughed, but except one young man in the back row there at the South Campus, and he lifted his hand and said, God, if you'll give me that $1 million, I'll pay for that crusade. And little did he know that 2 weeks later, his company would invite him to be the leader of a capital campaign to raise $100 million for their company. And they said, if you can raise that in 1 year, we'll give you any bonus you want. He said, oh, I already know what I want. They said, what's that? He said, I want $1 million. They said, why? He said, I want to pay for a crusade in Africa. Well, they said, whatever parts your hair, man, if you can raise the $100 million, you'll get it. A year went by and he tapped me on the shoulder. I remember where I was standing by the platform, and he said, Brother Larry, I got the money. I said, what money? I'd forgotten everything I'd said a year earlier. And he said, I got the Bonnke money. My eyes got big. He said, I've got the check here for $1 million. Who do I make it out to? I said, well, me, of course. Well, no, I did not really. But we took that check to Florida, and I found Brother Bonnke in West Palm Beach teaching a group of people. And we went to the room where he was. And afterward, I walked up to him. I knew him well. And I said, you remember last year I asked you how much that crusade would be? He said, yeah, he's German. And so we handed him that $1 million. And his eyes got big. He said, when I drove up to this building, I have a crusade in 1 month. We didn't have any money toward it. I was going to have to cancel it. And he said, this is the exact amount I needed. Well, I went with him to that crusade, and so did the young man who got the bonus. And in 5 nights, we saw people saved, healed. In fact, on Tuesday night, 9 blind people were healed and came to the stage. One man chased Bonnke around the stage with his family. He'd been blind 38 years, never seen anything. And in 5 nights, when they tallied the decision cards, 1.1 million souls had been added to the kingdom of God and filled out a decision card. From a bonus. When you have a purpose, when you have a vision, God will give you provision. When you have a reason to get out of bed, a reason to keep living more than paying utility bills, oh, that's worth more than anything in the world. And you know, when we pray today over Pastor Cal for the blessing, I want you to receive. In fact, close your eyes across the room and stretch your hands as wide as the blessing that you want. Some of you in this room, you are believing for amazing things for world missions. Why don't you go ahead right now and just ask him for it? It doesn't bother him. In fact, he's longing to pour resources upon you. Father, I'm so thankful for the church called Northwoods. I'm so thankful for the members here. And I am asking you for a divine blessing to come upon their lives, in their family, in their finances, in their relationships, in their personal emotions, but more than that, Lord, in their ministry, their calling, their destiny, and their purpose. Let them discover it in 2022, Father. Bless them indeed, the prayer of Jabez. Enlarge their territory and their influence. Let your hand be upon them, I'm asking you, Father. Keep them all from harm. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's praise the Lord for all of his blessings today. I want to ask Pastor Cal and Susan, if you don't mind, to come up here. And I'd just like to lead us all in a prayer of blessing on these 5 areas for their lives in the future. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God. I wonder if you don't mind just standing and stretching your hands out toward them. I'm so honored to be able to represent hundreds of pastors that would love to be here. This man and this woman have influence. But as you stretch your hands out toward them, I would just like to speak over them that today is the first day of the new year of new life. God always started things on the first day of the first month. Today is the first day of the first month of a new direction for your life. And I see the water of life, and I see Psalm 1 that says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. He'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water. You will bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaf will never wither, and whatever you do will prosper. For the Lord would say to you that I have prepared fields that you did not plant, houses that you did not build, wells that you did not dig, orchards that you did not cultivate. For I, the Lord, have gone ahead of you, my servant, and prepared a vast harvest in the future. For that which I have given you to this point shall feel small and confining even, compared to what I give you now. It is harvest time for you. You have sown much, and now the Lord says you will reap much. You have sown in tears, but you shall reap in joy. For this is the day the Lord has made, and today my blessing comes upon you, not in a single portion, but a double portion. For you are receiving the mantle of Elijah. You are the Elisha of God in the house of the Lord here. And you will be a blessing here for many, many years. And your children shall be mighty upon the earth. Pray that with me now. We bless the family of this man and woman that their children, all of their children, shall be mighty in the lands of the earth. And the name of the Lord shall be lifted up through your children. And then I say it through your grandchildren. There shall come leaders and pastors and missionaries and people of business and influence that shall finance great revivals to come. The Lord would say your family, your children, your seed shall be mighty in the earth, and wealth and riches they'll pass through your hands to the nations of the world. I will generate massive income through you, the Lord says, for I am even sending new generation leaders, both for you and your sons to disciple, and they will send money by the millions of dollars to raise up needy people's houses and places of worship across the world. For this is only the first day of the first month in terms of blessing. And then, Lord, I pray a blessing on relationships. I thank you that every part of their family is united and blessed. From former generations and new generations, give them blessing. I pray then, Lord, that every trace of worry, anxiety, concern, fear, or trepidation be removed from their minds today. And the blessing of the Lord upon your emotions, that your heart is fixed and steady and certain upon the Lord. And then I pray that last blessing, that your purpose, calling, destiny, and mission would become clearer and clearer, for the path of the righteous is as the light of dawn. My servant, I say, you see a little now, day by day, but soon you shall see month by month. And within 5 years, you will see year by year and even decade by decade what I have you to do. So walk in the day by day now. Seek me early in prayer and fasting. Spend time in worship in your house, and I will illuminate your eyes about the future. In the name of Jesus, Pastor Cal and Susan, stretch your hands out now toward this church. And I want you to speak a blessing with me over them. And even over this group, Legacy 5, they are here. God has a new thing for them and moving them. Father God, we speak over this church. We speak over Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Nathan and all of the wonderful eldership and pastoral staff and team that has been assembled and now a debt-free congregation. I thank you, Lord, that there's no money owed on this facility or property or any part of Northwood. I thank you for the blessing of this 32 years of leadership, and I pray it come upon the new generation, Lord. Let people come from all across Illinois to see what you are doing here. Pour out your spirit on the worship. Pour out your spirit on the services. I thank you, Lord God, your word will be proclaimed and published to the ends of the earth through this church. And Lord, we speak a blessing on each member of Northwood. And God, we're going to give you all glory, all honor, and all praise for the first day of the first month, for a new generation of leadership. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give the Lord a mighty shout of praise for that. Come on, give God some praise.
I receive it. Do you receive it? Wow.
All right, have a seat. You know, I don't want to put any pressure on John, but the true legacy of the former leader is what happens on the one who comes next. And so you guys, you just need to know there would be nothing greater in my heart and for my heart than I come back in here and you guys say, man, since John's been here, this thing's just growing, you know? And I'll say, praise God, praise God, praise God. That's what I'm believing him for in this next generation, because there's a lot of folks that need Jesus. Do you know that? There are more people in Peoria without Jesus now in this new generation than what needed Jesus when I started here 32 years ago. See, because we've reached a lot in my generation, but there's a whole new generation that's come behind, and they're not planted in the Word like a generation before us at least had a little bit of that value and this type of thing. It's a new day. And so, church, one of the great honors of my life as I pass the baton officially today and ride off into the sunset, but I'm coming back, okay? But not as senior pastor. I'll always be your founding pastor. I will always love you dearly. And I'll carry you in my heart. But my prayer for this church is that you never, never move from the plumb line of God's word. He honors his word. The Holy Spirit authored the word through men who died for the word. It's all there in history. And they saw the risen Lord, it changed everything. Hiding out, fearful of the Roman authorities. What changed them? Just weeks later, firebrands that would take a shot for the Lord. Why? We can't stop preaching what we have seen and heard. The Lord is risen. We serve a risen Savior. And he is moving. I see my brother Toss out here. Used to be a sniper for Yasser Arafat, and one day saw a vision and heard the voice, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Do you guys know in Iran today, if we could somehow lift that curtain on what's going on, I'm told there are thousands being baptized every week in Iran because Jesus is showing up. Ask them, they'll tell you the difference between believing something that's not true and now coming to him who is true. I have the joy of asking the doors to open now or the back to open now, and I was just absolutely honored when one of my staff said, Cal, we couldn't think of anything that would be a greater honor or greater tribute than if we could just provide everybody a legacy Bible. From my years of ministry. They're going to come and pass them out to everybody in this room today. Is that awesome? And while they're doing that, you'll have a few pictures that you can laugh at. You'll have in the front of the Bible a tribute that I have carried in the front of my Bible for 40 years and had to replace that cover 3 or 4 times, and when we couldn't replace it anymore, I just keep the cover with the tribute, but I transferred it to this one for you. It's an anonymous tribute to the Bible. It's just powerful. And then I'm going to talk about this Cal Rickner Legacy Bible page. We'll talk about that, and that's just inside the cover. But if you'd flip that over when you get your Bible, I've written a little note to the Northwoods family on this blue page here. And I want you to just listen while they're passing them down the row. Here's kind of the first couple of paragraphs. I say, dearest Northwoods family, this is a quote from Isaiah. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. So said Isaiah, the ancient prophet of old, to the people of his day, and I doubt there could be a more timely word for the people of our day. Listen, in every generation, the people of God must decide who or what will be their final authority. Will the Holy Scriptures, God's inspired, inerrant, authoritative word, provide the plumb line against which all other cultural narratives, deviations, and opinions are measured? Or will the church, as is happening in many corners today, facing the mounting moral, political, academic, and media-driven pressures, surrender the authority of God's word in order to conform to current societal norms and narratives? Every generation has to answer, are we going to go with the authority of the word of God? Or are we going to give it up because of cultural pressure? And I've said it many, many, many times around here. Whenever you surrender the authority of the word of God, you lose the power of God to change anything in that culture that he sent you to. Never let that happen, Northwoods. And I don't believe you will. And I know where John stands, firmly planted on the authority of God's word. But when they told me we wanted to give out a commemorative Bible, it's not so much that it has my pictures in there or it has my some sayings at the back or whatever. It's because if I could leave you with anything, I'd want you to plant your life in the Word of God and the gospel it proclaims, the supremacy of the Jesus it holds up, and the finished work of his cross, resurrection, ascension, and his reign today. I tell the story in there. I'll share it one more time with you while these Bibles are being distributed. It is a decision I made that has been life-defining for me. 19 years old, going into my sophomore year of Bible college, having come across some questions that I couldn't answer. By the way, if you get into questions you can't answer, just surrender your heart and mind to the stuff that makes sense to you. Listen, keep the main things, and the plain things, and you'll be okay, all right? But you might sometimes, you know, and I was, my heart was torn. Can I trust this word? Is this truly the authoritative word of God? Can I build my life and ministry on this? And I was troubled. I couldn't answer some of the questions coming against me. All I knew is if I couldn't trust this word, there was nothing I had to preach. There was no reason I'd keep going in ministry. What was I going to preach people if I didn't believe the word of God? Why would I keep on going to ministry? Why would I keep on going to the Bible college? I mean, it was like everything in front of me where I was headed was like, this is a defining moment. And I went to bed at 7 o'clock because I was so emotionally torn up. I didn't know what to do. Rolled for 4 hours. Remember my mom flipped the light on, came up the steps, put some clothes away when she went down, again, just disturbed and thinking, I don't know what to do. I could take you to the room in the farmhouse. Where on the little stand was my Bible, and I got down next by my bed. And I said, Lord, I have to know tonight. I didn't know where to open my Bible. It just fell open to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I began to read these words, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold,
which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you do not see him, you love him. And even though you have not seen him, or don't see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. All I can tell you guys, I will never forget that night. My heart was on fire. My heart was on fire. And the way that truth came to my heart couldn't have been any stronger than if Jesus himself had been in the room reading that passage to me and speaking it into my heart. I don't know how long I was on my knees that night. But when I got up, I said, Lord, from this day forward, I will live and die trusting this book. And I can tell you now, 44 years later, from that encounter that night, it ain't failed me yet. He's been faithful every step of the way. And I have learned how to answer some of those questions. But I have no question, not one iota about the truthfulness, the veracity of this book, that you can build your life upon the gospel it proclaims. I know the supremacy of the Lord it declares. I have watched him work miracles. I have seen him drive out demons. I have seen his life. And I have heard story after story after story over this past month. Lives set free. And there is no other explanation than that the Jesus who this book proclaims is still a saving, healing, liberating, freeing, forgiving God. Keep preaching that gospel founded on the Word of God. And so I say, read it until the cover falls off, and we'll get you another one. Northwoods, my family, thank you for loving me. I tell people all the time, the only problem with being a pastor when you're 31 is you got to do all your growing in front of the people. And you have been patient. You have been loving. You've been kind. You've been forgiving of me when maybe I wasn't at my best in my leadership. But I hope you know as I go down the road today, and the tears are falling, there'll be so many tears of just gratitude and thanksgiving to God for you. That's what the Apostle Paul said. You are my glory and my joy when I stand before Jesus. I thank you. That's so true. I give God all the glory and praise for what he's done in your life. Go with him. Stay rooted in the Word. Amen. God bless you guys. Stay standing. We're going to worship one more time.
All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
We just thank you for how good you have been. Not only to this church, but to each and every life represented here today. We thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, Lord. And I thank you that as a new day begins for Pastor Cal and Susan, that there's still new days ahead for this church as well, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do here. We love you, Lord. Now, church, as we close our time, I'm going to ask my family, my immediate family's going to go up and go out through the center aisle here today. And as they begin to leave, I want you to give them, to honor them, and give them an incredible round of applause. Church, we're not quite done. We want to show you just a video here as we close in a moment. But I want to thank you on behalf of my family and our staff. I know many of you have traveled many miles to be here for this day, and I know we have been so honored to have you here. I was saying last night, there's people from Hawaii here. We got Arizona. We got all over the place that have come to be here, and it's been such an honor to my family, to my dad. I want to thank you for being here. And those of you who call Northwoods home, I just want to let you know again, we're not done. I was telling Pastor Larry this morning that the neighborhoods around this church have completely changed over in the time that I grew up in these neighborhoods. And the Lord has brought the nations to our back door. And there are many people who do not know Jesus. And we're going to win some souls in the days ahead, church. I hope you're with me. God's going to do amazing things. He's going to continue what he started with my dad. Now, we've had a great month over this last, the month of March, and we just wanted to share a few of those memories with you on the screen here. And when the video's over, I'll close us in prayer, and you'll be dismissed. So go ahead and check out the screens. You can take a seat if needed.
Transitions in general are simply a part of the new thing God is doing with each generation. So in getting ready for next, we have to prepare to embrace the new day in front of us, because the reality is that new day will come whether we like it or not. This transition is bringing a new season. A different leader, but the same God. A different leader, but the same purpose. A different leader, but the same promises. And getting ready for next. Guys, let's healthily release the last season. Boldly embrace the new season. But over it all, let's reclaim the promises of God for every season. Amen? How healthily we move into a new day is determined by how healthily we release the old one. That's true for every transition. Be it a transition to a new job, a new house, a new city, new pastor. I cannot open my hands to receive what God wants to give me in this new day if I'm over here with both fists wrapped around what I don't want to leave in the old day. This church is going to continue to see amazing miracles of God's grace in the next season under John's leadership. So trust the promises. Speak them and declare them over this next season. Stay focused on the broken world people around us who need Jesus. Because, guys, only one thing makes heaven rejoice, and that's when the lost are found. Luke 15, heaven celebrates. And you keep depending on the power of the Holy Spirit for God's supernatural anointing and favor, for manifestations of his presence among you.
and now as both a founder and as a father in this house, I charge this younger generation, and I charge John as the Joshua who will be leading in the next generation as he steps in to lead. Preach this book. Cling to this book. Lift high the truths of this book and the Jesus it proclaims. Make no alterations to this book just to appease culture. Honor the God of this book, and that God will honor you. My prayer is that over the next 30 years, starting today under Pastor John's leadership, this church will be telling not just the old stories of what God did in our day, but the fresh stories of what he did in theirs. Amen. John and Northwoods Community Church, as you enter this new season, I say to you, welcome God's presence, steward God's presence, follow God's presence, and you'll have amazing stories to tell. The monuments will get set up.
Amen. Amen, church. You stand with me as we close. I want to pray, and then we'll be dismissed. So, Lord, we thank you for everything you've done in this church over the last 32 years. And, Lord, I thank you that you are not done. You are just getting started here at Northwoods. And just like was said in the video, Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence here. And we pray you would pour out your spirit here in power in the days ahead. We thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. We thank you for every life that has been changed here over these last 32 years. We love you, Lord. We'll give you all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Church, thanks so much for being here to celebrate with us. Have a great rest of your day.
Well, thank you so much for being with us this morning as we celebrate 32 years as a church. How awesome to see what God has done over these last 32 years. And thank you, Pastor Cal and Susan, for your continued just leadership and faithfulness over those years. Just amazing to look back and celebrate all that God has done.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we've spent all of this time looking back, you know, Pastor Cal taught us actually last Sunday that we share the stories of what happened to encourage the next generation to build our own monuments and have our own stories. And so we are ready for that. And Pastor John is actually going to lead us in a 2-week series coming up where he's going to be casting vision and talking about what is next here at Northwoods. So we want to personally invite you to join us back here next Sunday. We would love to see you, and we hope that you have a fantastic week.